Praise the Lord, everybody. Isn't God good? Old song you say, isn't God good to give us so many blessings? Undeserving, that's what we are. We ought to thank Him, love and praise Him. A little more today, a whole lot more tomorrow. I want to applaud my wife for smiling at me. Ministry tonight was extra tough because yours truly, it's been a while since he's been on the drums, and I was never a very good drummer to begin with. So, but she smiled, and we smiled, and we made it through, and God's still good. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My hope and prayer is that we are never a slave to the program. We allow power and presence of God to have its free will in this place. It's never out of order to pray for someone. This is a spiritual hospital. I've been in a few hospitals in my day, not for reasons of my sickness. Very few times I've ever been in the hospital, but visitation and family members and such. And I have never seen or heard of an incident where someone who was in need of care or attention, maybe a monitor was going off or there was something alerting the staff at a hospital that something was wrong in a room. I've never seen them poke their head inside and say, it's not your turn. It's not our round here yet, so you're just that's just going to have to keep going. No, if there's a need, if there's something that needs to be addressed, there's a monitor going off, there's medication, they're there. We should endeavor to be the same way in the house of God. The Holy Ghost makes us aware of a need. Our spiritual monitor is going off saying, hey, someone needs to be prayed for. Someone needs to be, hands need to be laid on that. Someone, they need to be encouraged. They need to be uplifted. You are never out of order. And if you are, I'll let you know. But we need to learn how to flow in the Holy Ghost. We need to learn how to be sensitive to the move of God. God has chosen us to be spiritual physicians, if you will, doctors, nurses, caretakers, and we have an opportunity to help those that are hurting, help those that are injured, that are in need of recovery. Because guess what? When I'm laid up in bed and when I'm dealing with a sickness and when the enemy has attacked my body and when things have happened, I want brothers and sisters that I can depend upon, that I know are going to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost and see the need and express a desire to pray and help and minister. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles and you would stand and turn in them with me, Book of 1 Kings. Towards the end of 1 Kings chapter number 1, and then read some verses in 1 Kings chapter number 2. I know I don't often say it enough, but I appreciate those that labor, and once you have to sit behind an instrument and try to focus on the song and make sure your timing's right or you're hitting the right keys, and I know that is a form of worship in and of itself, and I want those that do that, that sing, that play, to know that we appreciate you. We appreciate your sacrifice and coming to practice, and just want you to know that we're thankful that God has blessed this church with your talent, your ability, and your anointing, and we appreciate it very much. 1 Kings chapter number 1, begin reading in verse number 50. The Bible says, "And Adonijah feared because of Solomon, and arose, went, caught hold on the horns of the altar. It was told Solomon, saying, Behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon. For lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with the sword. Solomon said, If he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not hair of him fall to the earth. But if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar. And he, being Adonijah, came and bowed himself. Everybody say he bowed himself. He bowed himself to King Solomon. Solomon said unto him, go to thine house. When Adonijah was at the altar, Adonijah said, I am Solomon's servant. Adonijah submitted and bowed himself before King Solomon. Go just a few verses into 1 Kings chapter number 2 and start reading down about verse number 13. And Adonijah the son of Haggith came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and she said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. He said, moreover, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And she said, say on. He said, thou knowest that the kingdom was mine, and that Israel set their faces on me, that I should reign. Howbeit, the kingdom is turned about and is become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. And now I ask one petition of thee, deny me not. She said unto him, say on. He said, speak, I pray thee, unto Solomon the king, for he will not say nay to thee, that he may give me Abishag, the Shunammite, to wife. Bear with me a few moments. I will, in just a few moments, give you the background on this passage. It seems a little odd. Adonijah is granted a pardon, if you will. There, grabbing upon the hold, or holding upon the horns of the altar, he commits himself to being a servant of Solomon and bows himself in the presence of Solomon the king. But just a few verses later, he commits, if you will, a pretty serious act of treason. He knows, and we'll discuss it here in a little bit, he knows the implications of what he is asking Bathsheba to do. And he goes ahead and does it anyway. As a result, where he was pardoned initially by Solomon, when Solomon, Bathsheba comes in before King Solomon and she makes the request, Solomon, who is very wise, understands what she's doing. He understands that it's not her request. He understands it's the request of Adonijah. So the Bible says that Solomon sends Benaniah, and Benaniah kills Adonijah. This is a subject that I would like to speak to you upon tonight. Keeping the elder at the altar. Keeping the elder at the altar. Can we pray? Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you. The power of your presence in this place, God, the sweetness of your spirit that we feel. Lord, I pray that you would anoint my mouth, God, to speak your words. Your word is already anointed. Now, I pray that you would anoint me as your vessel, God, for this time to deliver unto your people what you've given unto me, God, that we would see and understand in the story, God, the scriptural implications that we can apply to our lives and understand the parallels. It would help us, God, to know what it means to keep the elder at the altar, God. Lord, that we would find on a daily, consistent basis a place of repentance, God, that we would be able to submit, God, and subdue this flesh, the carnal man that seeks the throne of our lives. God, we thank you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. We worship you, Savior. We magnify your name that is above every name. We give you glory and honor for who you are. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. If you clap your hands and lift your voice, you may be seated. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The background of this story, this passage is thus. David, King David, is now old and well stricken in years. And the Bible lets us know that in order to try to revitalize him, in order to keep him, the Bible says that he was cold. And so in order to offer him heat, as was custom in that day, they went and they found, the Bible says, a young virgin. Her name was Abishag, and she was a Shunammite. And the Bible says that they brought this young girl in unto David, and though David got no warmth, and so it was obvious that David was entering the last stages of his life. And now, as King David is still at that present time reigning upon the throne, as he has the control of all Israel, that now he has two sons, Adonijah and Solomon, who in all pretense and purposes are those that are in line for the throne, though Adonijah is the eldest. Adonijah is the older of the two between Solomon and Adonijah. And so Adonijah, understanding that his dad, King David, is about to expire and about to leave the throne of Israel, Adonijah makes preparation. Adonijah goes through the process. He gathers a priest, and he gathers sheep and oxen, and he's in the midst of creating a big celebration because he is going to be coronated king. He believes and he thinks. And so he is setting up the atmosphere. He's setting up the opportunity for him to be anointed and crowned as the next king of Israel. And so he is there, and he's even got some high standing officials within the government of that day and in the kingdom of Israel. And as he's there and he's making a celebration, the prophet Nathan realizes what is taking place. He realizes that he has not been called to this celebration, and that Adonijah is about to do something that God does not want, that God did not intend. And so Nathan goes, and he goes to Bathsheba, and he says, we've got to intervene. You need to understand that, and I'm paraphrasing, you can read this story, but the prophet Nathan goes to Bathsheba, and he says, Bathsheba, we've got to intervene in this situation. You know that your husband, King David, is about to die, and if he dies and Adonijah ascends under the throne, you must realize that Adonijah will not allow you and Solomon to live. You need to understand that Adonijah will slay you, Bathsheba, and he will kill Solomon. And so I need you to do something. We need to get a plan together. We need to go and present to the king. We need to make sure that he anoints and that he says that Solomon is to be the next king of Israel. And so the devise is planned. And at first Bathsheba goes in unto the king. And though he is well stricken in years, the Bible says, and though he is nigh unto death, he realizes that this is a serious situation, that Bathsheba the queen has presented herself before him. She makes the request. She says, and again, I'm paraphrasing, O King David, that we would live before thee, that you would understand that your son Adonijah even now prepares to take the throne. Your son Adonijah is saying that he is the next king of Israel. He's prepared the feast. He's got the offerings together, and he's about to make a celebration and call all of Israel together. And you know, King David, that he does have the mind of the people. He's popular among the people. And if you don't do something, if you don't intervene, if you don't anoint Solomon, if you don't say that Solomon is the next king of Israel, then Adonijah is going to take us and he's going to kill us. David, realizing the importance of the situation and what is put there before him, he realizes that he has to do something now, why he still has the mental capacity to make the decision, and why the nation of Israel still respects him and sees him as the ultimate authority in the kingdom. And so King David says, okay, we're going to anoint Solomon. Solomon is to be the next king. I swear unto you, Bathsheba, that Solomon will reign in my stead. And so I want you to go, and I want you to get my horse and get all those things that would identify me as a king, and I want you to place them upon Solomon, and I want all of Israel to know that Solomon is to be the next king of Israel. So they go through the process, and even while Adonijah and his those that are on his side and those that are supporting him, even while they are there and they're in the midst of the feast and they're celebrating his upcoming coronation, they're celebrating together in realization that Adonijah is about to ascend unto the throne. And even while they're doing that, the Bible says the trumpet sounds. Realize, oh, something has taken place, something has been done, and all of a sudden a messenger bursts into the feast and says, oh, Adonijah, listen, you need to understand, something has just happened. David has anointed Solomon as the next king of Israel. Adonijah, you need to understand, they knew what you were doing, they understand what you were trying to do, and now Solomon is king. there our text picks up. There we understand the Bible says that Adonijah feared because of Solomon. He now realizes his life is in jeopardy. He now realizes that Solomon is the ultimate authority in the kingdom and that he is not the next king of Israel. And so the Bible says that he fears Solomon. And so he runs to the house of God. He runs and he lays hold upon the horns of the altar. He grabs a hold. It is the place where the Bible says that they bound the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. And there at the altar, Adonijah pleads. And Adonijah says, oh, let Solomon swear unto me today. Let him say that I shall not be slain by the sword. Please let Solomon swear. I'm here at the altar of repentance. I realize what I've done. I've made a bad mistake. I've tried to ascend into a throne that was not mine. And now I'm pleading for forgiveness. Now, here, on the horns of the altar, here, I'm asking that Solomon would spare me. That Solomon would not take my life. And so, the Bible says that it is here that Adonijah catches hold of the horns of the altar. I need to understand that this was not just any old place. This was, in fact, the brazen altar. This was, in fact, the place that sacrifices were brought and they were slain and they were sacrificed unto God. It was a place we know of that represents repentance. And if you look at Psalms 118:27, it says, God is the Lord which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. It was here that, if you will, that Adonijah was claiming and asking for sanctuary. Spare me, Solomon. Spare me, Solomon. And so, messengers are sent unto Solomon that Adonijah has gone into the temple and he is laid hold upon the horns of the altar. So Solomon says, if he does well, if he is worthy, then there shall not one hair fall from his head. But if he does not well, and there's wickedness in him, then he shall die. And then we find that fresh from the altar, fresh from repentance, fresh from the realization of what he has done, Adonijah comes and bows before King Solomon. He claims himself to be a servant of Solomon, and the Bible says he bows before him, a sign of submission, a sign of concession that he is conceding the throne to his younger brother, Solomon. You see, Adonijah was older than Solomon, and by right, Adonijah should have had the throne. So Adonijah is wrestling with the reality that he is going to be bypassed. He is wrestling with the understanding that his younger sibling Solomon is going to reign over all of Israel. He will not have the authority. He will not wear the king's ring, the king's robe. He will not wear the crown. Others will not bow obeisance unto him. He is bypassed. He is stepped over. And so for a while it seems as though he is willing to live in this reality, that he is willing to submit and serve his younger brother Solomon. For a period of time, it looks as though he is going to make the right decision, that he is going to show himself worthy. But just a few verses later, in 1 Kings chapter 2, he devises a ploy, a plan, a plot. Somehow, some way, develop an opportunity for him to go and take the throne. It seems innocent at first. It really, when you look at it on the surface, we may not even understand what he's actually asking. But when he goes to Bathsheba, and she was not, even though she was obviously had a lot of understanding in the ways of royalty, she didn't understand in reality what the ploy was of Adonijah. Adonijah comes unto her and she says, do you come peaceably? He says, yes, I come peaceably, but I need to ask you something. I want you to make a request for me before the king. Acting humble and acting like that he would like her, that even acting like as if he's submitting unto her, this woman that he would have undoubtedly killed had he ascended to the throne. He comes to her and says, I ask a favor of you.
I just need you to make a request before the king because I know he won't say no to you. You're his mother. He respects you. And if you make this appeal, if you ask this question, I beseech you, I ask you, please ask this. And she says, okay, what would you ask me? What would you want me to ask King Solomon? What would you want me to request of him? And he says, I would ask that you would go before King Solomon and that you would ask him to give unto me Abishag, Shunammite. Seems innocent enough. Okay, so he wants this. The Bible says she was a fair woman and they had searched throughout the land, so she probably wasn't ugly. He wanted him a good-looking woman. That was not the intent. It was not the reason why Adonijah wanted Abishag. You see, in the lines of royalty and in those days and age, when a king symbolically had a wife or a concubine, when the next king would take throne, there was one of two things that king would do. He would either take and slay the entire household of the preceding king if it was in the sense of conquering. If it was in the sense of transference through bloodline and through father to son, then the son many times would take the wives of his father or the concubines of his father and they would become his in order to keep the royal bloodline together. And it was not something that God approved of. The Bible lets us know that he winked at some of these things. In other words, he understood it was the ways of man. I don't believe for one moment that God approved of the multiple wives and the concubines. That's not what we can find in Scripture. But you need to understand that Adonijah knew that if he could somehow get Abishag, the last woman brought into the presence of King David as he was well stricken in years, the young virgin that they had sought out to give King David, if he could have her as his wife, then what he is symbolically saying is that David is allowing me to have what he had, and so I have a right to the throne. Adonijah knew exactly what he was doing. Adonijah knew the plan and the plot. He knew what he was ploying. He was still seeking the throne. He had not truly repented. He had not had a true repentant heart in saying that he was going to serve Solomon. He was seeking a way to undermine. He was seeking a way to usurp the authority of King Solomon. And so he said, Bathsheba, ask for Abishag to be my wife. When she comes into the presence of the king and she makes the request known unto Solomon, Solomon realizes right away, Solomon who has wisdom beyond his years, Solomon who understands, he looks at her and says, hey, did you ask this of yourself? Or was this of the other party? Did this come from Adonijah in his camp? And he realized right away this wasn't a request of his mother. This was a ploy and this was a plot for his older brother Adonijah to ascend unto the throne. So the Bible says that he looks at Benaniah and he says, Benaniah, one of the mighty men of David, I need you to go and you need to fall upon Adonijah and you need to kill him. What are you trying to say? What's the reason for all the story? Why would there be so much background? Why would you take so much time to set up and develop this? We need to realize that they represent some things in the story. That is, as you look at the scripture, you can see how it parallels. You see, the first thing we need to understand that is what they are fighting over is a kingdom. What the kingdom represents. I know in that day it represented the kingdom of Israel, but what it represents to you and I is the kingdom of our life. You see, Adonijah was the older brother. And if you look at the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all three of them had sons. And every single one of them, it was told and it was said, hey, the elder shall serve the younger. Ishmael is going to serve Isaac, and Esau is going to serve Jacob, and the brothers are going to serve Joseph. You need to understand there's a reason why God put this into place. There's a reason why God set this up. There's a reason why we can look at this scripture and this passage of Adonijah and Solomon and represent that Adonijah represents the elder. Adonijah represents the flesh. Adonijah represents the carnality. Adonijah represents that which came first, that which feels it has right to the kingdom of my life. That one who says, I deserve the throne. Adonijah represents the elder. It seeks for the kingdom of our lives while Solomon represents the younger. Solomon represents the Spirit. Solomon represents God's wishes and God's will. It was already understood. Adonijah made it. He said, listen, the people choose me. The people want me to be their king. I'm rightful heir to the throne. It's my kingdom. But the Lord has chosen Solomon. By his own admission, out of his own mouth, he is identifying, listen, I'm the one popular with the people. Hey, it's not rocket science. We understand submitting our flesh and our carnality to the Spirit. It's not what the world likes to do. It's not the popular opinion. It's not what all of them seek to do. Adonijah represents what is popular with people. Adonijah represents the flesh, that which is the elder. Solomon represents what God has chosen. The Lord said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. They're trying to say, preacher, well, I'm just simply trying to make the parallel that Solomon represents the Spirit while Adonijah represents the flesh and the carnality. We need to be reminded that our carnal man, our flesh, it will never stop seeking the throne of our lives. It will never stop plotting and ploying and making plans to try to unseat the work of God, the Spirit. It will always, in its attempts, it will try to usurp the authority of Solomon. It will try to usurp the authority of the Spirit. For the Spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. And they are contrary one to another. The Bible lets us know that that struggle for the kingdom of our lives will always exist. What do? We as beings who are spiritual and flesh, we're natural, we're carnal, we're sold under sin. What do? How do we cope? How do we deal? How are we able to keep Solomon in kingdom? How are we able to keep him on the throne of our lives? How are we able to keep the Spirit in authority and power? How are we as Christians able to exemplify this story in our lives? I'll tell you how. Got to learn how to keep the elder at the altar. When Adonijah was at the altar, he said, I'm the servant of Solomon. When Adonijah was at the altar, fresh from the altar of repentance, he was bowing in the presence of Solomon. You want to know how you and I walk this walk? You want to know how you and I keep Solomon, the Spirit, reigning upon the throne of our lives? We got to keep the elder at the altar. We got to keep Adonijah in his proper place, and that's bound to the horns of an altar of repentance. There's a reason why Paul said, I die daily. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Can I paraphrase? Can I parallel with this passage what the Apostle Paul was saying? Is I keep Adonijah bound to the horns of the altar. I make sure that the elder serves the younger. I make sure that that which came first, the flesh, is in submission to the Spirit. What does it mean for me, preacher? What does it mean? It means that if I'm going to walk this walk, if I'm going to keep Solomon on the throne of my life, if what is spiritual and what is eternal is going to matter and it's going to reign supreme in my life, I got to learn how to keep the elder at the altar. I got to learn how to keep Adonijah submitted, bound to the horns of the altar. See, the only way that I can keep it submitted, the only way that I can keep it serving, the only way that I can keep it subjected to the Spirit is keep it bound to the horns of the altar. That's why we need to be reminded this altar is not just a place for sinners to come. It's a place for everybody to come and keep Adonijah tied up, to keep Adonijah bound to the horns of the altar. Oh, we will never keep him from seeking. We will never be able to completely conquer him in that sense. But all what we can do is keep him at the altar. If we'll keep him at the altar, he'll stay subjected. He'll stay submitted to the Spirit. And we can live a life that is pleasing unto God. That's why. You say, well, Pastor, you preach on repentance a lot. You better believe I do. But I realize that it's necessary. It's necessary for me. It's how I keep Adonijah at the altar. It's how I keep the elder at the altar. I'm repenting. I die daily. I come before God. When I worship and I praise, it's signifying that Solomon is still reigning on the throne of my life. That the Spirit still has preeminence in my life. That I haven't given in to the pressure. And I haven't fallen for the plot and the ploy of the elder. I'm keeping him at the altar. Oh man, you're passionate about that. Yeah, you better believe I'm passionate about it because I know the end result. I know what will happen if Adonijah ever gets the throne. I know what will happen if Adonijah ever gets the throne. The king's bride will die. And I don't want to. I am the bride of Christ. And I want Solomon to reign. I don't ever want the queen in jeopardy. I want to be able to live for God. So I'm determined. I have purpose in my heart. I'm going to keep Adonijah at his proper place. I'm going to keep the elder at the altar. I'm going to keep him where I know he's not going to do much damage. He may not ever submit. He may not ever give in. He may never concede. But guess what? If I can keep him at the altar, he can be subjected. If I can keep him at the altar, he can be submitted. See, there's such an importance and understanding what this place is. The altar is. We as a church body, as people who believe, we need to understand. When many times when an altar call is given, it's not just for those who need to come and receive salvation. No. It's for me and it's for you. Because this is where I keep the elder at the altar. One of the first things that often alarms me and alerts me as pastor. When I see someone who frequented the altar, came and poured themselves out, all of a sudden they rarely come. Every now and then they're moved and they'll make their way down front. But oh, if I can ever convince them to keep the elder at the altar. Those that are hungry for God. Those are desires for change. Those that know it's a struggle every day of my life. Adonijah is constantly trying to ascend into the throne. Adonijah is constantly trying to come up with plans and ploys. He's constantly trying to unseat the spirit in my life. And I can't allow that to happen. I know what the end result is. And so I will keep the elder at the altar. I'll keep coming back and putting him there and say, no, this is where you belong. Flesh, this is where you belong. Carnality, this is where you belong. You belong bound to the horns of the altar. I know I'm a realist. It's not easy. I know sometimes our flesh resists. I know our carnality, we struggle. I know how it is, but we need to understand that it's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There is no way I can have Adonijah pleasing unto God. There's no way he will ever be pleasing unto God. And so I got to keep him in his proper place. I've got to keep the elder at the altar. Closing, you can stand to your feet. I realize at times when somebody preaches along the lines of continual sacrifice, it's not the most popular message. Paul wrote the church at Rome, Romans 12, and he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Want to know what makes it reasonable? Paul Apostle Paul realized what destruction awaits when I don't present my body as a living sacrifice. When I allow the elder to continue to plot, ploy, and plan, usurp the authority of the Spirit. So the Apostle Paul said, listen, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to keep continuing presenting your bodies as living sacrifices. Can I paraphrase what he's saying? Keep the elder at the altar. Keep the flesh, keep the carnality submitted and subjected to the Spirit. The only way you're going to do that, the only way that he ever will serve, the only way he'll ever bow is if you keep him bound to the horns of the altar. Huh. Oh God, I pray a spirit of repentance sweeps upon this place, God, that we would realize, God, we all struggle, God. There's that continual vying. There's that battling for the kingdom of our lives. Oh, but that Solomon would reign, God. That the Spirit would reign, God, and that I would keep the elder at the altar, that the young, that which is spiritual would reign, that which is conducive to me walking and having a relationship with you would continue to reign supreme on the throne of my life. I said all that to make another opportunity for you, wherever you are, wherever you're from, whether this is your 100,000th service or whether this is just a few for you, you need to understand the process is the same. I got to keep the elder at the altar. I got to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. And the more I do it, the more I understand just how free Solomon is to rule and reign and to have authority. The more that Adonai just stays bound to the horns of the altar, the more that I keep the elder at the altar, the more the Spirit has life, the more liberty and freedom I have, the more that I subject this flesh and submit this flesh to the Spirit, I have freedom and liberty in Him. How about it? Are you willing to make your way up front and say, hey, this is a statement of faith, Pastor. This is what I'm doing. I'm showing you I'm willing to keep the elder at the altar. I'm willing to keep Adonijah in his rightful place. I don't want him to usurp the authority. I don't want him to take a rightful throne that's not his. I don't want him to be able to take and make something bad out of what you want to make good. I will not let Adonijah reign in my life. I'm going to keep the elder at the altar. He stays subjected and submitted, serving. Huh. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, help me keep the elder at the altar. Help me keep the elder bound to the horns of the altar. Keeping the elder at the altar. Every day of my life, I die daily. What he's saying, Paul, I'm saying, I keep the elder in his rightful place. I keep him at the altar. I'm presenting my body as a living sacrifice.
Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed.
Maybe you've been serving God for a while, but you see Adonijah creeping back up.
You see the elder, the flesh, the carnality trying to rule and reign in your life. Maybe it's been a while since you killed some things on the altar. Maybe it's been a while since you put the elder in his rightful place, bound to the horns of the altar.
Take me back to Lord where I mercy leads. Take me back. Take me back to you, Lord, to the place where I first received you.
Here I am.
Take me back.
I'm take keeping the elder at the altar.
To you, Lord,
I'm submitting my flesh.
Mercy leads.
I know my carnality has aspirations. I know my humanity's constantly seeking the throne of my life.
Take me back to you,
that's why it's so important
to
that I live a life of repentance, that I live a life where I'm coming to God continually and keeping the elder at the altar.
Take me back. Take me back to you, Lord, where I first me.
Adonijah, the elder, the one who represents our flesh, carnality. He doesn't like to come to the altar. He doesn't like to be put in his proper place. That's why sometimes it's such a struggle to make a way from the pew to present yourself before the Lord. I'm not, please understand my heart in this. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not speaking ill of anybody. But can I say it from my own personal testimony? When God really started working in my life, and I really noticed that His hand was moving and orchestrating things and opening doors, it was when I learned to frequent the altar. Seemed as though when I was seeking after God and His direction and His way for me, it didn't really matter what the preacher preached. Sometimes it was really good, sometimes it was, you know, okay. There was just something inside of me that just drove me to the altar. I didn't need to go to the altar. Maybe what He was preaching on didn't totally apply to me, but I knew I gotta keep the elder His rightful place. If God's really going to use me and open the doors, and God's really going to cause my ministry to flourish, I've got to keep Solomon reigning.
Right. Yes.
So I got to keep the elder at the altar. You will never, ever, ever go wrong in putting Adonijah in his rightful place, keeping the elder at the altar.
Right, amen, amen.
Solomon said, hey, you can go home. When Adonijah got away from the altar, the plotting and the planning started.
Right.
But if he'd have stayed at the altar, if he'd have stayed bound to the horns of the altar, Solomon wouldn't have to worry about it. I know I'm belaboring the point, but you just need to understand my heart as pastor. I'd rather see people flood the altars at the end of a message than feel like I have to pry and push. I'm just going to be real with you. I dare say this, there are those, especially on Sunday morning, visitors that come and are in the pews that many times they're waiting for someone else.
Right, they are.
They're watching. They're looking. Is someone else? I don't want to be the first one. I don't want to be the one to go. I'm putting myself out there. No. We need to understand that exists. And so when an altar call is given,
right, amen.
We keep the elder at the altar.
Yes, right.
It's not always easy. I had a struggle this week, and I understand. You just got to keep the elder at the altar.
Right, amen.
You just got to keep coming back. This is where my hope is. This is where I grow in my strength. This is where God does works in my life. And not only an altar in the church, but an altar at my house and a place where I'm commonly and I'm constantly coming into God. And I'm keeping the elder at an altar of repentance. I'm keeping the elder bound to the horns of the altar. Thank you, Jesus. One more time, can we lift our hands and our voices? Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, God, for reminding us of what it means, how we live, God, how we keep, God, following after the things of the Spirit by keeping the elder at the altar, by subjecting the flesh, the carnality, and our will, not our way, God, our lust in check, God, by keeping it bound to the altar of repentance, by continually coming before you, God, in recognition of our imperfection, but in the reality of your perfection, and saying, God, I need you. Adonijah's creeping up again. Adonijah's plotting and he's planning, and my flesh is trying to usurp the authority of the spirit that you've given unto me. And so I'm coming to keep it at the altar. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus. How wonderful you are. How mighty you are. God bless you for being in service tonight, responding in ministry of the word. As always, it's always fitting and proper to pray around the front. If you need to go, consider yourself dismissed. In Jesus' name.